As a child and a young person, I heard many, many times sermons about the legalism of the Jews. There were many times that this text and others were preached upon as an example of the legalism of the Jews. An interpretation I reject. But in particular, what happened when I was a young person and listening to this story is my thought was, well, wait a minute. Mom makes me wash my hands before I eat. You know, and mom washes vegetables and fruit that she brings home from the market. And all of us kids have to help with the dishes, the washing of pots and pans. So what is going on with this story? And then on top of that, as I got a little older and I started to learn to read a little more closely, I noticed that Jesus quotes Isaiah in a way that doesn't critique the doing as much as the saying. This people honors me with their lips, which is about what they say, but their heart is far from me. So I began to realize early on that this is a complicated subject and a complicated text, and that we can't just read over it quickly and simply, but it's one that requires us to wrestle with it. And one of the things that I have learned in wrestling with this text is that there are a couple of different ways that religious behavior can be used, can play themselves out. And especially important to recognize that because we all have religious practices that we follow. You can't exactly say that Jesus was about throwing out the rules because he encouraged charitable behavior and faithfulness and other religious practices. And St. Paul wrote letters to numerous churches that are in our New Testament now, and letters telling people what to do. So there's this question about behaviors, religious behaviors, religious rules, and the state of our heart and our souls. So I notice a couple of different possibilities. One possibility that is very important is that the things that we do in the world, the things that we enact, behaviors that we engage, especially ones that we engage repetitively, do begin to shape our hearts and our souls. There are behaviors that we can engage in that shape who we are, that shape how we are, that open our hearts to our neighbor and to God. So, for example, it is a standard religious practice in Judaism and Christianity and all the other world religions to encourage charity. And why do the world's religions, including ours, encourage charity? Because charity opens our heart to our neighbor. And because charity, practiced over time, becomes a way that we let our values rule our money. So that we learn that money isn't in charge. So charity as an act is a good religious act that is presented to all the world's religions as a behavior to engage. One of my criticisms of people like the people I grew up with who say that only so-called free prayer is valid, the prayer that you create spontaneously that comes as is said, from the heart. And the problem is not with free prayer. There's nothing wrong with praying the burdens that are on your heart and telling those burdens to God. In fact, we should do that. But that is a way that what's in our heart passes our lips and our mind on the way to God. But when we recite prayers that our ancestors wrote that we have found valuable, what happens there is that prayers pass our mind and our lips and sink to our hearts and shape them. The problem with free prayer only is that it loses half the possibilities of the transformative effect of prayer. Because what we do behavior-wise can shape our hearts and our souls. This is, by the way, classic Judaism. Judaism is based on the idea that people should be holy. God says it, be holy as I am holy. And that doesn't mean perfect and always righteous and always sinless and always pure and clean. The Hebrew Bible does not expect that of people. In the Hebrew Bible, it is perfectly understandable that human beings wander back and forth between tahor and tameh, between good, pure, clean, and impure, unclean, tainted. That it is natural for humans to move back and forth, to sometimes be more pure and sometimes be more impure. So holiness doesn't mean that kind of perfection. What holiness means in the Hebrew Bible is that by attending to how you do life, you come to experience God's presence. So you pay attention to things like how you plant your seed and how you make your food and how you wash your hands and how you run your house. All of these things, you pay attention to them so that you don't take them for granted. And in the process of paying attention, you discover that God is there. That's classic Judaism. Jesus' critique is not of classic Judaism. He tells people, it's true, you can see God everywhere. Look around you and see God at work. Consider the lilies of the field. There's God at work. He is classic in his interpretation of Judaism. Where Jesus is critical is the other way that we use religious behavior. This is the challenge, and it's the challenge for our own day too. It is possible to use religious behaviors as a kind of identity politics, just like we have today. Identity politics is my way is right and gives me identity because your way is wrong. I'm using a behavior not to open my heart and soul, but to show that I'm right and you're wrong. We do that a lot. We do that a lot in our world today. Much of what people call the division in our society is a division based on identity politics. It's based on that old behavior of, I'm doing the right thing, I'm right, and you're doing the wrong thing, you're wrong and bad and worthless. It happens. And so when Jesus critiques the scribes and Pharisees who say, we've noticed your disciples aren't washing their hands, what he's saying is they're not noticing this and asking him about how do your disciples embrace the awareness that God has made the world for them and wants them to be healthy and whole and safe and clean and wonderful because they're wonderful in God's eyes. And therefore, we have a practice of washing our hands before we eat because it's healthy, among other things. That's not what they're asking. Instead, what they're doing is asking a question that's really a gotcha. Gotcha. See, I said he wasn't traditional. Didn't I tell you he's not traditional? He's a rabble-rouser. They're not even washing their hands. How dare they? That's a whole different use of external behaviors. And that's the challenge for us. How do we use our behaviors in the world? How do we use our religious practices? How do we use our highest ideals? How do we use our vision for how life would be as a practice that opens our hearts and our souls to God and others? And avoid the temptation to use our practices as a way of saying that others are bad and wrong. That's the challenge. And that's what's going on in this text. And what happens is, if the question about the practice is coming out of a sense of making the other person bad and wrong and affirming my own identity, that is something defiling that's coming out of me. Right? It's coming right out of my insecurities. It's coming right out of my need to prove to the world I'm right. It's coming from in me and it's going out. It's just exactly what Jesus said. That it's the things that come from within that defile. My need to use others, my need to make others bad and wrong, my need to bolster my own insecure sense of identity, my need to be right. It comes from within. Comes out of our mouths and defiles. So that's the challenge in this story. That's the subtler reading of this story. How do we use our best behaviors? How do we use our religious practices? How do we use those things we do that we try to base on our highest ideals? Are they there to open our hearts and souls to God and each other? Or are they there to bolster us in our insecurities and make others bad and wrong? That's the question.